So imagine you're sitting at the terminal.
Yeah.
You know, you've got your lukewarm coffee, you're checking your watch.
Right, the classic airport waiting game.
Exactly. And you're just waiting for your flight. But right now, somewhere at like 35,000 feet over the Atlantic, there's a commercial airliner that already knows its left hydraulic pump is going to fail.
Yep.
And it knows it's going to fail next Tuesday at exactly 2:00 p.m.
Which is just wild to think about.
It's crazy because the
Yeah.
pilot in the cockpit, they don't know. The mechanics down on the ground at the destination airport, they have no idea.
Nobody physically near the plane knows.
Right. But there's this digital ghost of that exact plane just humming away on a server farm thousands of miles away. And it has already detected these like microscopic changes in pressure. It's flagged the impending failure, ordered a replacement part from some warehouse in another country, and scheduled the repair for a designated maintenance window.
All automatic
All
time.
automatically. And the most incredible part of this whole thing, the physical plane hasn't even thrown an error code yet.
Yeah, that's the real magic of it.
Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're unpacking this fundamental revolution in how the aviation industry operates.
It really is a revolution.
It totally is. And we're pulling this from a really incredibly detailed industry analysis in Aviation Maintenance magazine. We are essentially moving away from the era of just, you know, waiting for things to break.
Right, the reactive era.
Exactly. And we're entering this era of predictive mathematical certainty.
Yeah, and it is a profound paradigm shift because for the entire history of mechanical engineering, maintenance has just been inherently reactive.
You wait for the loud noise.
Exactly. A part degrades, it fails, it causes a disruption, and human beings have to scramble to fix it. But what we are looking at in these source materials with insights from, aerospace heavyweights like Siemens, Lufthansa Technik, and Dassault Systèmes is an attempt to essentially bend time.
Bend time. I like that.
Well, yeah, they're building these architectures designed to peer into the future of physical materials down to the atomic level of wear and tear, really, just to intervene before a failure ever disrupts a flight schedule, or obviously, more importantly, before it compromises passenger safety.
Right. And reading through these industry documents, there are two terms that are just, they're carrying the weight of this entire revolution. You see them on every single page in every executive summary.
Oh, I know exactly which ones you mean.
Yeah. Digital twins and digital threads.
Yeah, the massive buzzword.
Total buzzwords. And I want to establish our baseline right away because these sound like jargon ripped straight out of like a William Gibson cyberpunk
I
novel.
really do sound like sci-fi.
So we need to strip away the marketing gloss. Let's look at how Paolo Colombo, he's the global industry development lead for aerospace and defense at Siemens Digital Industries Software. Let's look at how he defines this.
Okay, let's break it down.
He calls a digital twin a living virtual replica of a physical asset. But I mean, a 3D CAD model is a virtual replica, right? And airlines have had those for decades. So what elevates this to a living twin?
So the distinction really lies in telemetry and temporal continuity.
Okay, English twos.
Right, sorry. Basically, a standard 3D CAD model is just a static snapshot. It represents this idealized version of an engine on the exact day it was manufactured.
Like a digital museum piece.
Exactly, it doesn't change. But Colombo's definition of a living replica means the model is inextricably linked to the physical object in real time through this massive network of sensors.
Okay, so they're talking to each other.
Constantly. If the physical engine ingests a microscopic amount of volcanic ash over Iceland, let's say, and that causes a fractional increase in operating temperature and maybe a specific harmonic vibration in a turbine blade.
Right.
The digital twin on the server experiences that exact same temperature spike and vibration simultaneously.
Wow.
Yeah. The twin ages alongside the physical asset. It accrues wear and tear. It develops quirks.
So it's not just a model of like a generic Boeing 787 engine. It is a model of that specific engine mounted on the left wing of a specific aircraft, carrying all the baggage of its unique flight history.
That is the core of it, yeah. The twin is a one-to-one reflection of physical reality, just translated into data.
That's wild.
But, and this is the kicker, a replica, no matter how detailed it is totally useless if it's isolated. Which brings us to Colombo's second concept, the digital thread.
Right, the thread.
He defines this as the continuous connected flow of data that links all information across an asset's entire life cycle.
Okay, let me test an analogy here, because visualizing the relationship between the twin and the thread is kind of tricky.
Go for it.
Let's say the aircraft is a patient in a highly advanced hospital.
Okay.
The digital twin would be the equivalent of, like, a real-time 3D MRI of their body.
Yeah.
It shows the doctor the current heart rate, lung capacity, cellular stress in this exact millisecond.
That's a very apt comparison. It provides that immediate diagnostic state.
Right. But an MRI is just a snapshot of right now. So if the twin is the MRI, then the digital thread is the patient's central nervous system combined with, like, an infinitely updating lifelong medical chart.
Oh, I see where you're going.
Yeah, it's the infrastructure that constantly feeds that MRI with context. Every childhood illness, every allergy, the exact surgical notes from an operation 5 years ago combined with the real-time neural signals happening today.
Yeah.
So the doctor isn't just looking at an organ. They're looking at the organ's entire historical timeline flowing into the present moment.
I really like that analogy, actually. Yeah. Because it underscores the dependency. Columbo makes it very clear that the twin and the thread are symbiotic.
You need both.
Right. You can possess the most sophisticated, high-fidelity digital replica in the world, but if the digital thread isn't feeding it a continuous, uncorrupted stream of life cycle data, I mean, everything from the original engineering blueprints to the metallurgy reports of the supplier who forged the turbine blades.
Right down to the notes from yesterday's visual inspection.
Exactly. If it doesn't have all that, the twin is blind. The thread is the nervous system that gives the twin its actual predictive power.
Okay, so knowing what these systems are is one thing. But as I was going through the source material, the sheer, like, the computational weight of this started to dawn on me.
It's massive.
Having a perfect breathing digital replica of a 300-ton piece of machinery is a phenomenal feat of software engineering.
Hmm.
But how does this abstract data architecture actually manifest on the tarmac? Like, how does a server farm keep a real physical airliner from breaking down at the gate?
So to bridge that gap from theory to physical reality, the sources shift focus from Siemens, who, you know, provides the underlying software architecture, to the people who actually turn the wrenches.
Right.
Specifically, we hear from Frank Martens. He's the senior director of global sales and key account management at Lufthansa Technik.
Which is a crucial perspective, honestly, because Lufthansa Technik isn't just an airline's internal garage. They are a massive maintenance, repair, and overhaul, or MRO, provider.
Yeah, they manage fleets for dozens of international carriers.
Right. The volume of aircraft they are responsible for is just staggering.
And operating at that massive scale forces a totally different approach. Martens introduces what they call the digital tech ops ecosystem, utilizing their Aviatar platform.
Aviatar. Cool name.
Right. But what becomes immediately apparent is that Lufthansa Technik views the isolated digital twin of a single aircraft as, well, insufficient.
Insufficient. How?
Because a single plane telling you it has a problem is only half the battle. The ecosystem approach involves networking the digital twin of the aircraft with the digital twins of the entire operational environment.
Wait, are you saying they're digitally twinning the infrastructure itself? Like the buildings?
They have to. Martens explains that to achieve true predictive maintenance, you must combine the aircraft's telemetry with the digital reality of the MRO facilities, the flight operations schedules, the global supply chain, and the historical data of every other aircraft in the entire fleet.
You are mapping the entire logistical universe of the airline. Okay, let's ground this in a tangible scenario for you listening. Let's take the hydraulic pump I mentioned at the top of the show. The aircraft's twin flags that the pump's performance is degrading and calculates a 90% probability of failure within the next 48 hours.
Okay.
In the old days, the plane flies until the pump just straight up fails, the pilot reports a fault, the plane is grounded, and everyone scrambles to find a mechanic and a spare part.
Okay.
What happens inside Lufthansa's digital tech ops ecosystem?
So the ecosystem entirely automates the triage and logistics. Martens points to automated planning algorithms, specifically Aviatar's line maintenance planning solution.
Okay.
When that pump is flagged, the system looks at the digital thread of the aircraft and sees its flight schedule. It knows the plane is landing in Frankfurt tonight at 11:00 p.m. and has, say, a four-hour layover.
Right.
It then queries the digital twin of the Frankfurt maintenance hub. It confirms that Hangar Bay 3 is unoccupied during that exact window.
Oh, wow.
Then it queries the HR database and confirms that a technician with the specific certification to replace that exact hydraulic system is on shift. And finally, It queries the localized inventory and verifies the replacement pump is physically sitting on the shelf in Frankfurt.
And it does all this without human intervention. Like, it's playing three-dimensional chess with the airline's assets.
It connects all those variables instantly, and then the system automatically issues the work order. The part is pulled from inventory, staged at the hangar. The mechanic is briefed. When the plane lands at 11:00 p.m., the repair is executed seamlessly during the planned downtime.
That's incredible.
And the passenger boarding the 6 a.m. flight the next morning has absolutely no idea that a critical failure was averted while they were sleeping.
You have completely eliminated the element of surprise from the maintenance equation.
Exactly.
It transforms maintenance from this chaotic reactive fire drill into a synchronized ballet of logistics. But, and this is a big but, just as I wrap my head around this ecosystem, the source text introduces a third player who escalates the concept even further.
Right, salt.
Yeah. We move from Siemens and Lufthansa to James Kornberg, a business consultant for aerospace and defense at Dassault Systems.
Mm.
And Kornberg introduces the term virtual twin.
Now, the industry is full of nuanced terminology, obviously, but Kornberg's distinction between a digital twin and a virtual twin is not just semantics. It represents a fundamental evolution in how we interact with the data.
So I want to push back on this a bit, or at least drill down into the mechanics of it. We just established that a digital twin is a living replica that mirrors reality based on sensor data. Dassault Systems is claiming a virtual twin goes beyond that.
They are.
But how can you go beyond a one-to-one mirror of reality? Is Kornberg saying the virtual twin doesn't just mirror the present, but actively simulates the future?
That captures the essence of it perfectly, actually. Kornberg defines a virtual twin as a smart, dynamic replica that encompasses all lifecycle phases from conception to disposal on a unified platform. A digital twin, fundamentally, is a highly advanced dashboard. It consumes telemetry and tells you what is happening right now or what has happened in the past. But Dassault's virtual twin incorporates a hyper-accurate physics engine.
A physics engine? Like in a video game?
Kind of, but way more complex. Because it is built on the exact same platform that the original aerospace engineers used to design the aircraft, it understands the fundamental laws of physics governing that specific airframe.
Oh, I see. So it's basically an enterprise-grade physics simulator.
Yeah.
So instead of just watching the data stream in and reacting to it, you can use a virtual twin as a sandbox.
Exactly the right framing. You can run complex multivariable what-if scenarios. Let's say an airline decides to redeploy a fleet of Boeing 737s from running domestic routes in the temperate climate of the American Midwest to running high-frequency short-haul routes in the Middle East.
Okay, so you are introducing extreme heat, massive amounts of abrasive sand and dust, and a higher cycle of takeoffs and landings.
Right. In a traditional model, the airline would just fly the planes and rely on the digital twin to alert them when parts started failing faster than expected due to that harsh environment.
They would just learn the hard way.
Exactly. They'd learn through real-world attrition. But with a virtual twin, the fleet engineer can simulate that exact environmental profile over a 5-year timeline before the planes ever leave the Midwest.
Wait, they can mathematically subject the virtual aircraft to 5 years of sandstorms and high temperature takeoffs in like an afternoon?
Yes. And the physics engine will calculate the accelerated wear on the turbine blades, the degradation of the thermal coatings, the impact of the dust on the avionics cooling systems, everything.
That is insane.
The airline can then preemptively adjust their entire maintenance schedule, order different stockpiles of spare parts, alter their financial forecasting, all based on a highly accurate simulation of future that hasn't even happened yet.
Wow.
But Kornberg emphasizes that this requires absolute digital continuity.
Meaning what exactly?
Meaning the data structure cannot be broken. It has to flow seamlessly from the CAD designer's desktop straight to the mechanic's tablet. No gaps.
Okay, the theoretical power of that is undeniable. But as I was absorbing these grand visions of flawless digital continuity and predictive physics engines, a massive, glaring logistical roadblock hit me.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Right. All of this sounds phenomenal if you were talking about an Airbus A350 that rolled off the assembly line last Tuesday. A modern jet is practically a flying data center. It has thousands of IoT sensors built into its DNA.
It does.
But the global aviation fleet is not made entirely of brand new planes. What about the 25-year-old workhorse jets? I'm thinking about the planes built in the late 90s that are carrying millions of passengers every single day.
Yeah, the legacy fleet.
Exactly. They were designed when dial-up internet was cutting edge. How on earth do you digitally twin an analog airplane?
You are identifying the single greatest friction point in the entire digital transformation of the aerospace industry.
I mean, it seems like a huge problem.
It is, and the source texts do not shy away from this. There is a universal acknowledgement of the classic IT maxim, garbage in, garbage out.
Right. If the underlying data is flawed, incomplete, or non-existent, the billion-dollar predictive AI is just going to give you a mathematically perfect, entirely incorrect conclusion.
Exactly. The integrity of the twin is completely reliant on the fidelity of the telemetry. So the industry is faced with this massive technological gap. You cannot ground half the global fleet because they lack modern data buses.
Obviously not.
But you also cannot run a cohesive digital tech ops ecosystem if half your assets are invisible to the network.
So how are the major players, Siemens, Dassault, and Lufthansa, bridging this gap? Because they obviously can't retrofit a 1998 fuselage with 10,000 miles of new fiber optic cabling and modern sensors. The weight and cost alone would bankrupt the airline.
They approach this legacy hardware limitation through a combination of clever software engineering, peripheral hardware, and advanced mathematics.
Okay, let's break that down.
Let's start with Paolo Colombo's strategy at Siemens. He emphasizes the absolute necessity of open architectures and robust APIs.
Oh man, the integration nightmare. Getting proprietary systems from three decades ago to willingly shake hands with a modern cloud infrastructure.
It is a monumental task of data engineering. An old aircraft might utilize an AirNC 429 data bus, that's an old aviation communication standard, that spits out data in a highly specific proprietary format.
Right.
A modern analytics platform speaks JSON or XML over an IP network. So Siemens utilizes tools within their accelerator portfolio to act as a universal translator. But the real ingenuity comes in how they physically extract that data.
Okay.
Colombo introduces the application of edge computing.
Edge computing. That is one of those terms that gets thrown around in tech keynotes constantly. Let's unpack what it actually physically looks like in the context of an old airplane. We aren't sending all this messy analog data to the cloud, right?
No, sending raw high-frequency analog data over an expensive low-bandwidth satellite link from a plane in flight is incredibly inefficient.
Makes sense.
The edge refers to processing data at the physical location where it is generated. For legacy aircraft, this often means installing a localized, ruggedized microserver and edge gateway directly onto the aircraft.
So we are essentially bolting a highly intelligent filter onto the old plane's nervous system.
That's the function, yeah. The edge gateway taps into the legacy data buses. It ingests the raw, noisy analog signals. It digitizes them. It cleans the data, filtering out anomalies or irrelevant background noise.
It's basically doing the heavy lifting locally.
Exactly. It performs initial computations locally. And then it only transmits the synthesized insights or critical alerts up to the cloud to feed the digital twin. It transforms a fire hose of analog noise into a structured trickle of digital insight.
But wait, even if you filter the data, how does the modern system know what it's looking at? A voltage spike on a wire from 1995 doesn't inherently tell a cloud server that a flap is stuck.
Ah, this is where Colombo's concept of semantic data models comes into play.
Semantic data models.
Right. A raw numeric value is useless without context. The semantic model maps the legacy data stream to the modern digital twin architecture. It tells the system, hey, when data bus channel 4 reads a resistance of 50 ohms, that specifically translates to a 10% degradation in the left aileron actuator.
It gives the legacy data a modern vocabulary.
Exactly.
So that covers the Siemens approach, hardware gateways, and semantic translation. What about Dassault? How does James Kornberg extract a virtual twin from legacy hardware?
Kornberg acknowledges that while hardware migrations are sometimes possible, Dassault is leaning heavily into artificial intelligence to bridge the gap.
AI.
They are utilizing AI to actively convert and extrapolate data from legacy aircraft.
I found this part of the text totally fascinating. It sounds almost like restoring a highly degraded photograph. Like if the AI knows what a human face is supposed to look like, it can intelligently guess how to sharpen the blurry pixels based on surrounding context. Is that how they are treating missing airplane telemetry?
That's a great way to put it. It is a very sophisticated form of statistical inference. Let's say a modern aircraft provides 50 distinct data points regarding the health of an engine compressor.
Okay.
The legacy aircraft might only have sensors that provide 10 of those data points. A traditional system would simply have a massive blind spot.
It just wouldn't know what was happening with the other 40.
Right. But an AI model, trained on millions of hours of flight data from the modern fleet, understands the intricate correlations between all 50 variables.
So if the AI sees those 10 legacy data points acting in a specific way, it can mathematically deduce what the missing 40 data points are likely doing with a high degree of confidence.
Precisely. It fills in the blanks. It uses Bayesian networks and complex pattern recognition to extrapolate the missing telemetry. That ensures the virtual twin maintains a cohesive, simulated reality even when the physical sensors are lacking.
So it uses the fleet's collective intelligence to compensate for the individual aircraft's hardware limitations.
Yes.
That is a brilliant software workaround for a physical hardware problem.
Hmm.
But I have to play devil's advocate here for a second. Let's look at the Lufthansa perspective.
Huh?
Frank Martens is dealing with the gritty reality of turning planes around at the gate. Even with edge computers translating signals and AI, hallucinating the missing data points, there has to be a scenario where an old mechanical component is entirely unmonitored.
Oh, definitely.
Like there's no wire to tap into. There's no data to extrapolate. Does the entire digital ecosystem collapse if a part is completely analog?
It's a very pragmatic concern, and Martens addresses it with a remarkably practical solution. He acknowledges that if data simply cannot be extracted from a component, it obviously cannot be fed directly into Aviator.
Right.
However, Lufthansa Technik maintains the integrity of the digital twin by utilizing the ultimate, highly trained, decentralized sensor network.
Which is?
The human workforce.
If the machine can't speak, the human speaks for it.
Exactly. Martens points to solutions like the digital technical logbook. The ecosystem doesn't solely rely on automated machine-to-machine telemetry. It integrates data from flight operation systems and direct human input.
So if a pilot feels a specific shudder in the airframe during a crosswind landing,
or a mechanic visually inspects a hydraulic line and notes a microabrasion, they input that observation into the digital technical logbook.
And that human observation is instantly digitized and routed through their AMOS maintenance system and the FlightOx platform, fundamentally becoming a data point that updates the digital twin.
Right. The physical component might be analog, but the maintenance process is fully digital. By enforcing a single source of digital truth across all reporting systems, Martens ensures that human expertise bridges the final gap where sensors fail.
The digital twin remains accurate because the humans are acting as the edge computing nodes.
That's a perfect way to summarize it.
Which perfectly transitions us from the massive scale of fleet data down to the individual human being. We've spent a lot of time discussing server farms, AI algorithms, and abstract ecosystems. But I want to know how this actually changes the daily reality of the men and women on the hangar floor.
It's a night and day difference.
Right. If I'm an aviation mechanic clocking in on a Tuesday morning, how does this invisible web of data alter my physical interaction with a 300-ton aircraft?
The contrast between the traditional workflow and the digitally augmented workflow is stark. Paolo Colombo offers a really vivid scenario focusing on an aircraft landing gear.
Which is a massive, complex assembly of hydraulics, structural metal, and braking systems.
Exactly. Let's walk through the old paradigm first, the reactive approach. What does a bad day look like for a mechanic under the old rules?
Yeah, paint that picture for us.
A bad day starts with a surprise. An aircraft pulls into the gate, the pilot reports a sluggish response in the right main landing gear deployment, and the plane is instantly grounded. The mechanic arrives at the aircraft with a symptom, but no diagnosis. They have to start entirely from scratch. They visually inspect the gear, look for hydraulic fluid leaks, test electrical connections.
They are basically acting as a forensic investigator at a crime scene, trying to piece together a chain of mechanical events after the failure has already occurred.
And to find the schematics or the troubleshooting protocols, they are likely walking back and forth to a terminal to search through clunky PDF databases, or worse, referencing massive physical paper manuals.
It sounds exhausting.
It is a slow, manual process of elimination. Now, contrast that with the proactive reality enabled by digital twins. In this scenario, the mechanic doesn't receive a work order for a broken plane.
What do they get instead?
They receive an alert regarding an impending anomaly on a plane that is currently operating perfectly fine.
So the digital twin noticed that, say, over the last five flights, the hydraulic pressure in a specific actuator dropped by 2% during deployment.
Right. Not enough to trigger a cockpit alarm, but enough for the twin to calculate a 95% probability of a seal rupture within the next 20 flight cycles.
So the mechanic is dispatched to intercept a failure before it even happens.
Exactly. And when they approach the landing gear, they aren't carrying a stack of schematics. Colombo describes the integration of augmented reality, or AR.
AR in the hangar. How does that work?
The mechanic holds up a ruggedized tablet, or potentially wears AR glasses, and points the camera at the physical landing gear.
The convergence of the twin in reality. What exactly do they see on that screen?
They see the live video feed of the physical metal in front of them, but perfectly mapped and overlaid onto that physical structure is the data from the digital twin.
It is essentially giving the mechanic X-ray vision.
Yes. So floating in physical space next to the strut is a digital tag showing the exact installation date of that component, its entire maintenance history, and a glowing 3D highlight over the specific hydraulic valve the twin identified as the likely culprit.
Oh, that is so cool.
And it overlays step-by-step 3D animations of the disassembly process directly onto the physical part.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Furthermore, before the mechanic ever leaves the tool crib, the system tells them exactly which specialized wrenches and replacement seals they need, completely eliminating wasted trips across a massive hangar.
It strips all the ambiguity out of the repair process.
It fundamentally changes the cognitive load on the mechanic. They don't have to hold the entire schematic of the aircraft in their head. The digital twin acts as an expert companion looking over their shoulder.
But beyond just making the mechanic's life easier, Columbo highlights how this precision solves one of the most frustrating and expensive black holes in aviation maintenance. Right. The no fault found phenomenon.
Yes. No fault found, or NFF, is a massive drain on industry resources, and it is a direct result of the reactive guesswork nature of traditional maintenance.
To put this in terms anyone who owns a car can understand, NFF is the equivalent of hearing a terrifying grinding noise in your transmission on the highway.
Oh, the worst feeling.
You gingerly drive to the mechanic, drop the car off, and wait anxiously. The mechanic puts it on the lift, runs diagnostics, test drives it, and calls you to say, "I can't find a single thing wrong with it. Your car is fine."
And you are relieved, but you still have to pay the diagnostic fee.
Right. And you drive away constantly listening for the noise to return because you know something is wrong.
That is a perfect parallel. Now scale the financial and logistical impact of that scenario up to a commercial airline operation. An aircraft in flight experiences an intermittent anomaly.
Okay.
Perhaps a sensor throws a vague error code, or a pilot reports an avionics glitch that vanishes after a reset. The aircraft lands. Safety regulations dictate that you cannot simply ignore it.
Because you absolutely cannot risk that glitch turning into a critical failure over the ocean.
Exactly. So the safest, most conservative action in a reactive system is to pull the suspected component out of the aircraft. You remove a multi-million dollar avionics computer.
Just yank it out.
Yep. You requisition a spare from inventory and install it so the aircraft can return to revenue service. That takes labor and time. You then take the suspected component, pack it, and ship it to a specialized MRO testing facility.
And it enters a queue.
Right. Eventually, a highly specialized technician mounts it on a test bench, runs an exhaustive battery of simulated electrical and environmental tests, and the component passes every single one. No fault found.
Wow. So the airline just grounded an aircraft, paid highly skilled labor to swap a part, disrupted their global supply chain by pulling a spare, and paid a laboratory testing fee, all to discover that the original multi-million dollar component was perfectly healthy.
It was a ghost hunt. Perhaps the real issue was a slightly degraded wiring harness elsewhere in the plane that caused a momentary voltage drop, which the healthy avionics computer correctly flagged.
So in a reactive system, you're treating symptoms, not the underlying systemic disease.
Precisely. Columbo emphasizes that digital twins drastically reduce NFF events because they provide holistic system-wide context.
Because the twin isn't just looking at the error code from the avionics box. It's analyzing the telemetry of the entire aircraft leading up to the error.
The twin correlates the avionics error with the data from the wiring harness, the temperature of the equipment bay, and the vibration of the airframe at that exact moment.
It synthesizes those variables and provides a highly precise diagnostic root cause.
It tells the mechanic, do not pull the avionics computer, replace the grounding wire on pin 4 of the secondary bus. You only remove a component when the data irrefutably proves it is faulty.
The efficiency gains on the hangar floor are staggering. But what about the perspective of the people managing the entire fleet? The engineers sitting in a control room staring at screens, not turning wrenches. How does the virtual twin alter their reality?
For the fleet engineer, the twin provides a god's eye view of operations. Columbo describes the ability to monitor the real-time holistic health of an entire global fleet simultaneously.
Instead of looking at a spreadsheet detailing the last inspection dates of 200 left main landing gears, they're looking at a dynamic dashboard showing the real-time wear and tear of all 200 gears as they are currently flying.
And because the data is aggregated, they can perform incredibly powerful root cause analysis. If 5 aircraft suddenly begin exhibiting a similar anomalous vibration profile in an engine component, the engineer can instantly cross-reference the digital threads of those 5 specific planes.
And what would they find?
They might discover that all 5 planes had that component serviced at the same third-party facility 3 months ago, or that they all regularly fly a route through a specific atmospheric condition.
The twin finds the invisible common denominator.
Exactly.
That level of insight is incredible. And it reminds me of a specific operational nightmare that James Kornberg from Dassault mentioned regarding the virtual twin. He brought up the management of in-service configurations.
This is a prime example of where the virtual twin's absolute digital continuity proves its worth. Aircraft are not static monoliths, you know. They are constantly evolving machines.
Right. Manufacturers regularly issue service bulletins mandatory or recommended modifications to specific components to improve safety or efficiency.
Like if Boeing issues a bulletin stating that a specific bracket on a thrust reverser needs to be reinforced with a titanium plate due to newly discovered fatigue risks.
Right. In a legacy system, implementing a fleet-wide service bulletin sounds like an administrative nightmare.
It is. The fleet engineer must manually dig through databases and physical records to determine the exact current configuration of every single aircraft. Tail number 101 might have had a different repair done last year, meaning it requires modification kit A. Tail number 102 is newer and requires modification kit B.
Kornberg describes this as a cumbersome, error-prone task.
Because you are relying on human interpretation of disparate maintenance logs to figure out what physical metal is actually on the plane.
So how does the virtual twin fix this?
The virtual twin automates this entirely because the virtual twin is an exact living 3D replica of each specific tail number. The engineer simply inputs the service bulletin into the Dassault platform. The system instantly analyzes the individual configurations of the entire fleet. It flags exactly which planes need which specific modification kit, automatically generates the customized 3D work orders for each specific plane, and schedules the logistics.
So the engineer resolves a massive logistical puzzle globally with a few clicks.
Precisely.
Hearing all of this, visualizing mechanics with AR X-ray vision, server farms running physics simulations of sandstorms, AI algorithms translating 1990s analog signals. I cannot escape the financial reality of this.
It's expensive.
This has to cost an absolute fortune to build and implement.
The capital expenditure required to stand up a comprehensive digital tech ops ecosystem is immense. It is a massive structural investment.
So as someone analyzing this industry, I have to put on the hat of an airline CEO. I'm looking at a proposal to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to digitize my fleet. I understand the technological marvel of it, but aviation is a brutally low-margin business.
Extremely low.
Is the juice actually worth the squeeze? What is the hard return on investment?
The sources address the ROI question directly, but they offer two distinct lenses through which to view it. Let's start with the hard mathematics provided by Paolo Colombo at Siemens.
Okay.
He states unequivocally that the savings are concrete, measurable, and highly compelling.
Give us the numbers. Where's the financial bleeding stopped?
Colombo points to industry data showing double-digit reductions in AOG time, specifically a 15 to 30% reduction.
AOG aircraft on ground. For you listening, we need to contextualize just how catastrophic an AOG event is for an airline. This isn't just an inconvenience, it is a financial hemorrhage.
An AOG means an aircraft that is scheduled to be generating revenue is instead sitting broken on the tarmac, actively costing money in parking fees, passenger compensation, and emergency maintenance logistics.
But the true cost of an AOG is the cascade effect.
Yes, the dominoes falling across the network. If a 777 is grounded in London at 8:00 a.m. because of a faulty valve, the flight to New York is canceled. But it doesn't stop there.
The passengers in New York waiting for that plane to take them to Los Angeles are now stranded. The flight crew in Los Angeles, whose shift required that specific airframe to fly to Tokyo, are now timed out of their legal working hours.
A single unexpected failure in London ripples across the globe, disrupting thousands of lives and incurring massive collateral costs.
So when Colombo says the digital twin reduces AOG time by 30%, he isn't just talking about fixing a valve faster. He is talking about preempting the entire global cascade of delays.
The twin flags the valve on Monday. It is replaced during scheduled maintenance on Tuesday night, and the Wednesday morning flight to London takes off exactly on time.
You are neutralizing disruptions before they enter the operational timeline.
Exactly. But the savings extend beyond schedule integrity. Colombo also cites a 10 to 20% improvement in spare parts inventory efficiency.
Inventory efficiency. Let's dig into that, because hoarding parts is a classic symptom of a reactive maintenance culture.
When you cannot predict when a component will fail, your only defense mechanism against a catastrophic AOG event is to overstock spare parts. Airlines spend millions of dollars buying highly expensive, complex components, avionics computers, hydraulic actuators, auxiliary power units,
and storing them in warehouses around the globe, just in case a plane breaks down at that specific airport.
Right. You essentially have millions of dollars of capital sitting on a shelf collecting dust for 5 years, because the alternative, having a plane grounded for 3 days while you ship a part from across the world, is even more expensive.
It is a massively inefficient allocation of capital.
Colombo explains that the predictive confidence generated by digital twins shatters this model. If the AI can predict a component failure 30 days in advance, the airline doesn't need to hoard spares at every outstation.
They can rely on a centralized inventory.
Exactly. They simply ship the specific part to the destination airport just in time for the scheduled repair. You transition from a costly just-in-case logistics model to a highly efficient just-in-time model, freeing up vast amounts of capital.
The mathematical argument from Siemens is incredibly persuasive. A 30% drop in grounded planes and a 20% reduction in hoarded inventory justifies the investment. But you mentioned a second lens for viewing ROI.
Yes. Frank Martens from Lufthansa Technik provides a necessary reality check. He does not dispute the potential savings, but he argues that ROI is not an inherent guarantee of the software.
Oh.
He states that ROI must be calculated on a highly individualized airline-by-airline basis.
Why the caveat? If predictive algorithms work, shouldn't the financial benefits apply universally to any airline that installs the system?
Martens emphasizes a crucial truth of digital transformation. Technology does not save money. Change behavior saves money. The ROI is entirely dependent on how the airline's internal processes adapt to the new information.
Oh, I see. If the virtual twin issues an alert that a pump will fail in 3 days, but the airline's legacy management culture still requires a mechanic to physically observe a leak before they are authorized to sign out a $50,000 replacement part,
the predictive power is totally wasted.
Exactly the friction Martens is pointing out. If you overlay a billion-dollar proactive data ecosystem onto a rigid, paper-based, reactive corporate culture, you will achieve zero return on investment.
Furthermore, the ROI varies wildly based on fleet composition. An airline operating a homogeneous fleet of highly connected modern A350s will realize ROI much faster than a regional carrier attempting to string together a data ecosystem for a mixed fleet of 30-year-old analog turboprops.
The friction of implementation directly impacts the financial return.
Exactly.
Which begs the ultimate, slightly cynical question. If the technology exists and the potential ROI is in the hundreds of millions of dollars, why hasn't this happened already?
A very fair question.
Why am I still getting delayed at the airport due to unexpected maintenance? Why hasn't every airline and MRO on the planet made this the absolute baseline standard of operations?
Because the sheer inertia of the aerospace industry is massive. The source materials dedicate significant space to outlining the roadblocks on the runway. The friction of progress is severe, encompassing technical, financial, and deep-seated cultural hurdles.
Let's categorize these roadblocks, starting with the technical barriers. Polo Colombo mentions data silos and inconsistent formats. We touched on this with the legacy aircraft, but it seems to be a broader industry issue.
The aviation ecosystem is notoriously fractured. An aircraft is a collection of systems built by different manufacturers. The engine manufacturer holds the engine telemetry data tightly in their proprietary software.
The landing gear manufacturer holds their data.
The airline holds the operational flight data. The MRO holds the maintenance logs. Historically, these entities do not share data willingly or easily.
So breaking down these fiercely protected corporate silos to weave a unified digital thread requires navigating a minefield of intellectual property concerns and data governance laws.
It's a geopolitical data dispute disguised as an IT problem. But speaking of IT problems, Colombo raises a technical hurdle that is genuinely alarming: cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity. Of course.
It is the existential threat to the entire digital twin concept. Implementing this ecosystem requires the convergence of information technology IT, the cloud servers, the AI algorithms, the corporate networks.
With operational technology OT, the physical actuators, sensors, and data buses physically flying the aircraft.
You are creating a digital bridge that connects a server farm on the ground directly into the central nervous system of a commercial airliner carrying 300 people.
The vulnerability surface area expands exponentially, ensuring that a malicious actor cannot traverse that digital thread moving from an airline's corporate network through the edge gateway and into the avionics of the aircraft. That requires cybersecurity measures of unprecedented complexity.
Securing that ITOT convergence is a monumental, expensive, and ongoing battle.
The technical hurdles are massive data wars and the terrifying prospect of cyberkinetic attacks. But the sources suggest the human hurdles might actually be harder to overcome.
They might be. Colombo highlights a severe talent shortage. To build, maintain, and secure a digital tech ops ecosystem, an airline cannot simply hire traditional airframe and power plant mechanics.
Right. They suddenly need armies of data scientists, machine learning specialists, cybersecurity architects, and IoT network engineers.
And the aviation industry is forced to compete directly against Silicon Valley tech giants and hedge funds for that exact same pool of highly specialized talent.
And they're trying to integrate that new talent pool into a workforce that often harbors deep, justified resistance to this level of digital disruption.
James Kornberg notes that for many MROs, predictive data environments are completely new land.
I can totally empathize with the mechanics here. If you have spent 30 years diagnosing turbine issues by the subtle changes in pitch and vibration you can feel through the soles of your boots, and suddenly an iPad tells you to replace a part that looks and sounds perfectly healthy to you,
it requires an immense leap of faith.
You are asking human artisans to subjugate their intuition to an invisible algorithm.
It is a massive cultural shock. The aerospace industry is foundationally built on risk aversion. Safety is paramount, which means change is inherently viewed with suspicion. Kornberg observes that companies often prefer the devil they know, their inefficient, reactive, legacy IT systems, over the operational uncertainty and immense capital expense of a total digital overhaul.
Frank Martin summarizes this bluntly. He says, achieving a digital transformation is a highly complex endeavor that will take many years, if not decades, to fully realize across the industry.
It is a grueling uphill battle against technical silos, hacker threats, talent shortages, and cultural inertia.
Yet despite reading through all these massive roadblocks, the tone of the source material isn't pessimistic. There is a palpable sense of inevitability. And it seems that inevitability is being driven by an unstoppable catalyst.
Artificial intelligence.
Yes. AI is the accelerant that makes turning back impossible. The industry has crossed a Rubicon of complexity where human cognition is no longer sufficient to manage the physical assets.
Frank Martins provides a statistic that crystallizes this perfectly. He notes that modern aircraft types generate 50 times more data than the legacy aircraft they are replacing.
50 times the telemetry pouring in every single second of every single flight.
Simultaneously, MRO costs account for roughly 50% of an airline's direct or indirect operating expenses.
Those two data points dictate the future. You have a tidal wave of data that is impossible for human analysts to process manually, and a maintenance budget that threatens to consume the airline's profitability.
Martin's conclusion is absolute. Leveraging technology to optimize MRO is the only remaining avenue for massive cost reduction.
The digital twin isn't a luxury upgrade.
No, it is a vital life preserver to keep from drowning in data while going bankrupt on maintenance.
So how does the integration of advanced AI push the digital twin from a diagnostic tool into the future? What is the horizon Paolo Colombo envisions?
Colombo sees the current iteration of predictive digital twins evolving into what he terms cognitive digital twins.
Cognitive, that implies a level of autonomous reasoning.
Exactly. A predictive twin uses historical data to flag a future failure. A cognitive twin observes the failure, reasons through the complex, multivariable context, and autonomously formulates a strategic response.
Colombo envisions self-optimizing assets. What does a self-optimizing airplane look like in practice?
It means the cognitive twin communicates directly with the aircraft's flight management system in real time. It might analyze the wear on a specific landing gear strut and tell the aircraft, during your next approach, adjust your flap configuration by 2 degrees and alter your descent angle.
Wait, it changes how the plane flies.
Yes. It might say it will slightly increase fuel burn for 3 minutes, but it will reduce the kinetic stress on that specific strut, extending its operational life until the scheduled maintenance check next week.
That is staggering. The machine is actively managing its own physical degradation.
And Columbo extends this autonomy into the hangar as well. He predicts the widespread use of autonomous data collection. Imagine automated ground robots or AI-guided drones moving around the hangar, conducting high-resolution optical and thermal scans of the aircraft fuselage.
Analyzing the surface data in real time against a digital twin.
And only flagging the anomalies that require a human mechanics intervention.
Okay, I have to interject here, because as a passenger who flies frequently, this paints a picture that triggers a visceral reaction.
No, I'm sure.
Autonomous drones scanning the plane, cognitive AI dynamically altering flight controls, algorithms issuing repair orders. Are we moving toward a future where robots are autonomously fixing commercial airliners without human oversight? Because trusting an algorithm to recommend a movie is one thing. Trusting an algorithm to tighten the bolts on the engine carrying my family over the Pacific is entirely different.
It is a profound concern, and it is vital to address the human element in this highly automated future. What is incredibly reassuring in the source material is that all three experts, Columbo, Kornberg, and Martins, are completely unanimous in refuting the idea of a humanless maintenance reality.
So how do they define the boundaries of the AI?
James Kornberg from Dassault is explicit. He defines AI in this context as virtual companions. They are designed to augment, assist, and illuminate, but never to replace.
He stresses that humans will always make the final decision.
The aerospace regulatory environment, the FAA, EASA, is built entirely around human accountability. An algorithm cannot sign a legally binding certificate of airworthiness. Human experts remain the ultimate authority.
So the cognitive twin is the smartest assistant in the room, capable of doing the math on a million variables in a second. But the human mechanic is the veteran who looks at the math, validates it against their experience, and actually authorizes the repair.
That is the dynamic. Paolo Colombo envisions this as an evolution of the workforce. By offloading the rote data analysis and the frantic troubleshooting to the AI, the technician is elevated.
They transition from being reactive problem solvers running around putting out fires to becoming proactive strategists.
They manage the health of the fleet from a position of control.
I love that phrase, proactive strategist. It respects the intellect of the mechanic.
And Frank Martins delivers the definitive closing argument on this topic. He states that regardless of how advanced the digitalization becomes, the aviation industry remains fundamentally dependent on highly trained, dedicated professionals.
You cannot digitize the critical judgment, the tactile intuition, and the deep, hard-won expertise of a veteran mechanic.
When a physical system fails in a bizarre, unprecedented way that defies the algorithm's training data, human ingenuity is the only safety net. Martins concludes that employees remain the absolute greatest asset in keeping aircraft flying safely.
That is an incredibly grounding and reassuring reality to end our analysis on. The technology is breathtaking, but the human remains at the center of the loop. Let's pull back and summarize the journey we've taken through this material.
We've covered a lot.
We started by demystifying the jargon, learning that a digital twin is a living, breathing virtual replica tied to physical reality by the nervous system of a digital thread.
We explored Lufthansa's massive ecosystems that orchestrate global logistics to fix parts before they break, and Dassault's virtual twins that act as predictive physics engines, simulating years of wear and tear in an afternoon.
We looked at the immense friction of bridging the legacy gap, using edge gateways and AI hallucinations to pull 1990s airplanes into a 2024 digital reality. We walked onto the hangar floor to see mechanics using augmented reality to slash through the incredibly wasteful nightmare of no-fault found components, saving airlines millions in hoarded inventory in grounded flights.
And we faced the reality that while the cybersecurity fears, corporate silos, and cultural resistance are formidable, the sheer volume of data generated by modern aircraft makes AI-driven predictive maintenance the only viable path forward.
Yet, through all of this technological acceleration, human expertise and accountability remain the non-negotiable core of aviation safety. It fundamentally changes how you perceive the infrastructure around you.
It really does.
So I want to leave you, the listener, with this thought. The next time you are standing at that crowded terminal, staring up at the departure screen, maybe feeling a surge of frustration at a slight delay or relief when they finally call your boarding zone, remember the invisible architecture we just unpacked.
You are not simply trusting the physical metal of the fuselage.
You are not just trusting the pilot's training. You are putting your life in the hands of a staggering, invisible global web of digital ghosts and threads. You are being protected by edge computers filtering data, server farms running predictive physics simulations, and AI algorithms analyzing millions of variables every second, all working silently in the background to guarantee that your physical journey is perfectly mundane and flawlessly safe.
It is a profound hidden reality. But looking closely at the implications of these living digital records, there's a fascinating, slightly provocative question that isn't directly answered in the texts, but naturally emerges from this technology.
Oh, I love a good theoretical extrapolation to wrap things up. Where does this lead us?
Consider the ultimate promise of the virtual twin absolute digital continuity from the initial CAD drawing to the final flight. If a system records the entire life cycle of an aircraft, capturing the exact stress put on every single rivet during every single moment of turbulence over 30 years, what happens when that physical aircraft is finally retired, dismantled, and scrapped for aluminum?
The physical machine ceases to exist.
Yes, but does the digital twin die with it? We are rapidly approaching an era where airlines and aerospace manufacturers will possess permanent, flawless, intricately detailed digital ghosts of every single airplane that ever flew.
A digital ghost. That is a haunting concept. What do you do with a perfect simulation of a dead machine?
You use it to build the future. Could thousands of these immortal digital records become the ultimate training ground for the AI that will engineer the aircraft of the 22nd century? An AI could study the exact millimeter of fatigue progression on a wing spar over 50,000 flights to design radically new, perfectly resilient metallurgical structures. It becomes an immortal, infinitely searchable library of engineering truth.
They learn from the ghosts to build better physical realities.
But there is a sharper, more immediate legal implication. If an aviation incident does occur in this hyper-documented future, how does the legal system adapt? Will investigators and courts continue to put physical paper maintenance records and human testimony on trial? Or will they subpoena the virtual twin?
Wow. Think about the implications of a court subpoenaing a simulation.
If the digital record is demonstrably more accurate, comprehensive, and objective than the physical logbook, will courts demand to see the exact real-time playback of the aircraft's final moments? Will they use the twin to prove exactly what the airline's predictive algorithms knew and exactly when they knew it? It fundamentally redefines the concept of accountability.
When the digital reflection becomes more legally binding than the physical reality, the ethical and legal landscape shifts entirely. That is an incredibly heavy, fascinating thought to chew on. Well, that brings us to the end of our time today. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the hidden predictive layers of the aviation world. Keep questioning the invisible systems you interact with every day. And remember, the next time you're waiting at the gate with your lukewarm coffee and the board confidently says, on time, you now know exactly the scale of the digital magic required to make that happen.